Run the track!
Welcome to Foster the Podcast.
Oh, no!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world-famous Foster the Podcast. This is the official show of stand-up comedian Justin Foster and professional life coach Christy Marie Royster. Every week, we bring to you the craziest stories, the best interviews, pop culture news, also dating and relationship advice. Brand new episodes every Monday, available on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes, search for Foster the Podcast on there. Also, check out our website, fosterthepodcast.com, where you can download past episodes, you can email Christy and I, and donate to the show. Also, for my stand-up tour dates, visit my website, justincomic.com. And now, enjoy this week's episode.
That's the rule. We have rules of this podcast. The two rules are that we have three. We have one unwritten one. One is like we never really talk about politics or like really heady,
right?
Like current events. Like we never really address anything like really dark, just because it's hard to recover from,
right?
And I don't feel like that's our job on this show,
right? That's not the pod. This isn't the podcast you go to,
right? And then so, but we never say. I always blame out.
Okay.
And then two, Christy and I both have a story that we've never told. Like, we've been very open on this show before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we've never, those are the two.
Our farewell show will be those two stories that we'll share.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I think we'll save those for.
Sweet.
And then disappear.
Delete all social media.
Yeah.
Yours is hardcore.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty fucked up.
It's probably my favorite story of all time.
I used to be a real drunken asshole back in the day. And, like, just no sympathy, like, no remorse for anything. And, yeah, I've got some pretty terrible stories of me just being an absolute monster. They're pretty funny,
yeah.
But they're terrible to the people that they happen to. Yeah.
A lot of guilt. I have two. I have one that I don't mind sharing. Maybe one day I will.
Yeah.
But then my one is just because the two people involved, I think, still listen to the show. So when I tell, like, I have to commit, like, I have to go all in.
Right.
And probably just burn that boat.
Yeah.
Man, I got a great Thanksgiving story, but I don't know. I was the absolute asshole at this party. It was a few years ago, and I was just a drunk dick.
Yeah.
Right? Just total asshole.
Now, was this back in Boston?
No, this was here.
Oh, okay.
This was here.
Because I'm assuming every Thanksgiving in Boston is just like par for the course.
Yeah. Yeah, regular day. That was a bad one. I was made it total douche of myself.
So you were out here and what, visiting a friend? Or no, I mean, you were out here and someone invited you over to their Thanksgiving.
Right, one of my best friends invited me to Thanksgiving.
To be a part of their life.
And it was funny. Are we going right now?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's fine.
We'll
see where this goes.
So, I proceed, and it's at this people's house that I've met maybe one or two of them. And so I go to the house and all that. And, the football game was on, and I'm a big sports fan.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, guys. And they're watching like their stories, something like Days of Our Lives or something.
Right.
Thanksgiving with 90-year-olds.
Yeah. No, and they were all, you know, young couples and all that.
Oh, okay.
And then
party time, Wayne Frazier shows up.
Man, complete idiot.
Just a bottle of Seagram's.
my captain, and I'm just a bottle of booze and some other, you know, total disrespect.
Sure.
And I, you know, go in there and it was, I don't know what happened, but I guess that one of the hosts, she got drunk.
Uh-huh.
So she drops the turkey all over the floor. The classic story.
The turkey.
Nice.
Turkey. Okay.
All right. Over the floor.
Okay.
Nice.
And we sit there and none of these people, they're not real engaging. They're not talking much to me being the new guy, whatever. They're just kind of like.
It's an LA Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's got their
blinders
on.
Or dinner. It's just an L.A. dinner, no matter the day.
It's an L.A. meal.
Right.
And so she drives a turkey, whatever, and I proceed. Why, I don't know.
Because you're awesome. I can already tell. I like it.
I proceed to, as we finally all get sat at the table, I proceed to clink the glass and make a speech.
Oh, yes. Perfect. Yes. Perfect. Yes. It's clearly your place. Yeah. You should be the one. Yeah.
Hey, guy, we barely know.
Yeah. So... And I do it as a roast. I destroy everybody.
Perfect.
Killing everybody it. In the room, not even knowing him, just out of what I met for those few hours.
Just killing
the physical appearance of what you've gathered in an hour.
Right. Just, you know, why don't you have the football game, you know, and it was just, and so by the time I left,
right.
You know, I started sobering up just enough to go. What did I just do?
Right. Yes.
What happened? Never, of course, never got invited back to these people.
Right.
Never,
right.
They,
yeah.
They just would absolutely. No.
Yeah, so, that's a first and last experience.
Do you remember what you said? Or was it
no,
complete blackout?
No, no, complete blackout.
Do you
was
remember
one of those?
Were you killing, or was it like super?
Oh no, I was killing. Oh. I thought I was hilarious. I was, you know, I was doing Jeffrey Ross up there. I was just rolling, you know. I was like, and then, you know, and it was almost like the you know Office Steve Carell guy,
right?
Right, yeah.
Awkward.
See, right. I was thinking that scene from Meet the Parents when Fokker gets hammered and by accident, and he tells everyone at the dinner what he thinks about him.
Yeah. The truth.
Yeah. Fokker out, and then Wayne just passes
Fokker out.
Yeah. And I really feel like that was definitely a turning point.
That's great.
Yeah. Frasier out.
Frasier out. Drop the turkey again.
Do you still drink?
Of course.
Okay, cool. We all get together. We have a friends Thanksgiving, so you're invited this year for sure.
Fantastic.
We're gonna get you good and boozy.
I will be a little more cautious. I promise.
No.
Speeches will be amazing.
No.
I just love Wayne like he's on a Comedy Central roast swirling his thesis here.
And what about this millennial?
You know? Hilarious.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Crazy. Well, Wayne Fraser is our guest today, man. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
Party time
it.
Wayne, I'm going to start calling you.
Ding that bell right there. Party time Wayne.
You look good. You've been working out, buddy?
I got a personal trainer and started yesterday.
I saw the video on Facebook.
The guy's biceps are bigger than my head.
Nice.
He's massive.
He's a beast. And just amazing. Nicest guy in the world. He's from New England also, so we had a lot in common. So it was like, oh, what a great setup to work out. And
right
now, this is about as far as I can lift my hands and arms.
Oh, right.
Holding
right.
the mic. Yeah. I feel like rigor mortis is setting in.
I just love your Facebook video from the gym. Like, it's day one, Wayne. Let's relax a little bit. You're still filling out paperwork for this guy.
I didn't even sign the receipt yet.
Calm like, down.
All right. Get it rolling. My motivation, I suppose. But so this is going to be a tough 4 or 5 weeks just to get rolling. But
oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Relearn how to eat right just to, you know, and obviously not drinking like I used to.
Thanksgiving's a while away.
Don't go into a workout at 6 a.m. after having a booze night, you know.
Yeah.
Not with a trainer.
No.
Right. I know, dude.
Yeah, I was breathing hard on he was just warming me up. I was going, this is going to be great. And I'm like, just pouring sweat. It's ridiculous. It's like, thank you. 5 minutes later.
My best friend when we lived together, Mark, he would, no matter how much we drank the night before, no matter how bad we felt, he would get up every single morning and go to the gym and slam the gym for like an hour and 10 minutes. And I would
still be
in bed. I can't even make eggs when I'm hungover.
No.
I couldn't do it. Squats? No. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah. No, insane.
No.
Insane. You're just pouring sweat. You're just getting rid of all the nasty shit.
And everybody around you. I did it one time. I took his advice one time, and I went and I was on the treadmill for probably 2 minutes, and then I went and I threw up in the bathroom.
You know what I mean?
Yep. I just know everybody around me could smell it.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's like healthy, and they've packed protein bars, and then I smell Hendrick's gin and Bud Light from the cycle.
All the big guys smell like wheat protein. You smell like a bottle of Jaeger.
Smell like Fireball. So it's 9
gross.
Avalanche.
It was a rough night.
Oh man, that's awesome. We got a lot to do today. I want to tell this story real quick though. We've had a theme of ghosts on this show. I think you heard the episode we had the psychic
on. Yes.
And,
uh-huh. So, creepy, man.
Which one?
Creepy.
Yeah, it was pretty weird, right?
Yeah.
Pretty weird. Well, it gets weird. I went to Subway, and this is the weirdest part of the way to start a ghost story.
Yes, it is.
So I went to Subway because I like to eat fresh before I work out.
Of course.
All right. Okay.
And so there's a lady making my sandwich, right? And then she's making my sandwich, and then a lady walks behind her and goes to the back, right? And the lady who's making my sandwich stops, and she looks at me, and she's like, "Did somebody just walk behind me?" And I go, "Yeah, the other lady that works there walked in the back, you know, can I get lettuce and tomatoes?" And she goes, "No, wait." She goes, "I'm the only one working right now."
What?
I swear to God, she put everything down, turns white, goes to the back, and is like looking through the kitchen. I'm kind of annoyed because I'm in a rush. I need my sandwich, but I'm also kind of like, what's happening right now?
Right.
And then
right.
She comes back and she's like, "There's nobody. You saw that, right?" I go, "Yeah, I literally saw a lady walk behind you, go to the kitchen." She goes, "I'm the only employee."
No way.
Yeah. Yep. And she said yesterday, I guess the day before, she got her phone had flown off the desk. The refrigerator door is always open.
Oh my goodness.
Isn't that crazy?
Haunted wow. Subway.
But yeah, but then I was like, yeah, what kind of shitty ghost haunts a Subway?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. As an employee, like they were dressed as an employee.
I think so, yeah. I just saw a lady back there.
Yeah, but talk about like hell.
Yeah.
You know what right? I mean? Heaven and hell, and this is your purgatory. You will be haunting Subways in LA. Like,
she what? Hung herself with like 6-inch and foot long rope or something.
Boo.
She shows with the deli meat wrapped around her neck.
Right, yeah. Or she just Sylvia Plaths herself in that the oven one day mid shift is like, "Fuck it, I'm going in.
I've had enough."
Right. Isn't that bizarre though?
Yeah.
Crazy, man. Mm-hmm. Weird. Man, I one time when I first moved originally came from Boston and my dad had a job transfer to Nashville. So I lived in Nashville and actually went to high school and college there.
Uh-huh.
And I remember our first apartment we moved into, and this was creepy, man. It still puts hairs on my arms. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I, wide awake, whatever, go to the kitchen, get some water. When I turn around the corner, there was this vision of this woman. She's about 6 feet off the ground, right there standing. Yeah, right there in front of the kitchen.
Wow.
And I was like, and I froze, you know, and I was like, whoa, you know, and I just froze and darted back out and hid under the covers. But I was wide awake. I swear I saw this.
Wow.
It was really freaky.
So you would expect that in that scenario, right?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't expect to see like
a Subway,
home Sun Chips, fresh baked cookies.
It's like, wait till you go to Quiznos.
Yeah. You don't even know what happened to Jimmy John's.
The deli hauntings. This is a new AMC series.
Yeah, haunted delis of LA.
It's a new tour.
The only thing that haunts Subway employees is the fact that they made Jared Fogle their spokesperson.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's it.
Oh my God!
Jared just looking at
Souls of Innocence. Just
awkward.
Horrible.
Yeah, and it was in the middle of the day too, so I didn't even think too much. I was like, yeah, that's kind of weird. And then I got in my car and I realized like how freaked out she was. Like, it didn't really hit me until I got into my car.
I think when you said that she turned like.
Yeah.
White, pasty white.
Yeah.
Right.
That's real scare.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Real fear. Right. That's not like, someone messing with you.
Right.
That's not someone who thinks you might be mistaken. Like, that's fear.
Right. Yeah. Because she goes, because she was like, "Did somebody just walk behind me?" And I was like, "Yeah, duh. The other lady that works here." You know, obviously, I just saw her go back there.
But the thing is, you saw it.
I saw it. She felt it.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. We got to call your friend. And I'm just going to walk in a Subway with frankincense and myrrh.
No, man, I'm
I'll take an Italian urban cheese. Just throw it
that's crazy, man.
Wow, man.
I've been keeping up with a lot of like news and trending topics that's been going on this week. And the main thing, are you guys playing Pokemon Go?
No,
you guys?
Absolutely not.
See, if I was going to guess, I would guess Wayne would be a no. And I would guess that you would be a yes.
Let me tell you why I'm a no.
Can I tell you why I think it's a yes?
Okay, absolutely.
Because it's the exact same model as the game.
As Ingress.
Okay, yes.
There was a game that came out 4 or 5 years ago that was the originator of this game. Like when they were just getting the whatever technology together for it. And it's called Ingress. And you, there were two different teams that you could pick, and there were different spots around the city, and you would have to go to these actual landmarks around your city or any city. Vegas was super fun to play in because there was like a million, and you would go to these things called portals, and you would collect energy, and you would like basically like capture the flag, like take over bases. And it's the exact same thing, but there weren't cool Pokemon that you got. You got like, right, whatever, you got gear and shit like that that would come out of them. So we played that to death when there was like hardly anybody else playing it. Mm-hmm. So now that Pokemon has come out, it's the same game, but now it's just Pokemon instead, and I already played it.
Right.
Okay. You know what I mean? Would be playing it.
Right.
But I already dorked out too early.
Obsessed with this game.
Insane.
Yeah.
This guy asked me yesterday, this comic, he goes, are you playing? He had his phone out and he was collecting whatever. He was collecting the Pokemon people. He goes, are you playing this? I go, dude, I'll be 36 on Tuesday.
No, I'm not playing this. No. I'm not. Madden football.
Like an adult.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
I'm going to go ruin a Thanksgiving.
It's
crazy
callback,
though, but people are—they're obsessed with it.
Yeah,
there's been injuries. Have you seen the injuries?
Well, there was the story which we found out was fake, and it was a Massachusetts guy.
Uh-huh.
That was a fake story that went out, but it, for a while, went viral, and it was apparently this guy stopped in the middle of the interstate and started playing Pokemon. And caused a huge wreck.
Sure,
but some of the other real stories is somebody found a dead body.
Yep, someone found a body.
Yeah, which is great for the family. So
right.
There's a plus for Pokemon.
Lots of fun.
Right, you got to collect them all.
You got to collect all the bodies. But there was that. But there's somebody get hit by a car.
Yep.
Walking across the street.
People walk in streets. People have fallen down hills. Somebody has fallen in a creek.
I'm sure trespassing.
Trespassing.
People get robbed.
People have gotten robbed, Christy. They've lured people out with the game to rob them.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a whole thing, man.
The guy that I guess he bought, you know, part of the game is something with everything is like a home base or what do they call it? A gym.
Yeah.
They call it a gym. And one guy had bought an old church and he renovated and made it into his house, but it's still considered, I guess, a landmark.
Gotcha.
So he wakes up in the morning, he's got like 80 people in his yard battling each other. He's like, what the hell?
Yep. There's lines of people.
80 20-year-olds just surrounding his house. Yep. That's hilarious.
A couple was arrested in Toledo because they jumped the fence at the zoo trying to catch Pokemon.
Yeah.
They're arrested right by the tiger exhibits.
Oh, yep.
Yep.
That's...
Yep.
They learned from the gorilla incident.
Yep. All right. Could you imagine dying trying to collect Pokemon?
Yeah.
There was a guy.
No.
Right. I know.
No.
Agree.
I know. Yeah, I always do that with like movies now. I'm one of those guys that get real paranoid when I go to movies and stuff. And like, I like scan, because of all the shootings and the craziness, I scan every person who comes into the movie and I judge them, right?
Okay.
So if there's like, there's a white guy sitting by himself somewhere, like immediately my eyes are on him the entire movie.
Wow. Okay. Right?
Like the other night we went and saw The Purge election year, and there was a guy like in the corner by himself.
Right.
And the whole movie, I'm like glancing
at
this
guy. And that's like a psycho movie.
Right. And
too.
That's a psycho movie. But in my head, I'm like, I don't want to die watching The Purge election. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of all the films.
Right. Like those people that died in the Batman tragedy, but it's Batman. Yeah. Like, I don't want to die in the third Purge movie.
No, it's embarrassing enough you said it on this podcast that you went to go see it.
Right. Aww. Paid full price. but there was a guy. I'm a 23-year-old employee at a banking IT company, and as you can guess, I was born in the 90s, and my entire childhood was just based on Pokemon. I couldn't wait for this new game to come out. As soon as I got it, I felt 10 years younger. Playing it for just 5 minutes, I left for work. Now, this is where I screwed up. Employees of my company are allowed to use smartphones inside the premises, but using camera is strictly prohibited
as it's a fucking bank.
Right, as we have access to clients' personal data. You can guess what happened next. I just thought of exploring the game option and settings, and as soon as I opened it, I encountered a wild Zubat, and I instantly went into mode trying to collect it, throwing Pokemon balls all over the screen, holding the phone high in front of my face as if I were taking a selfie. Then came the voice from behind me, "Excuse me, sir, are you clicking photographs?" And next thing I knew, my phone was confiscated. They had to send his phone off to a corporate office. He was suspended.
Yep.
Pending an investigation, if they find anything that was taken, you know, he's not only going to lose his job, he's going to get blacklisted from that company and that banking firm.
Yep.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
Just because he wanted to play Pokemon at work.
Yep.
He compromised data and records, and now there's a full
that
internal
is...
investigation.
Why?
Priorities, people. Priorities.
That makes you wonder, you know, is LAX and the airports, are they gyms? You know what I mean? How bad would that be?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That'd be horrible.
Yeah.
All those people there.
Oh, the 405.
Yeah. No. Hey, everybody, stop. What's up, traffic? No.
Yeah.
Pokemon.
So be safe out there if you're playing that, man. I think it's crazy. I read about a girl. She was walking. She was a web designer. She was playing the Pokemon game. She fell into a hole. And twisted her ankle and had to go to the hospital.
Oh, jeez.
Yep. Can you imagine?
Silence of the Lamb shit.
Yeah, just
please to put the Pokemon in the basket.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine you get lured to some killer's house because you were playing Pokemon?
But I win.
Okay, I take it back. That's worse than dying at purge election year.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's worse.
Dragged to somebody's house. Been there for years, but I got my game.
Well, another thing that was trending this week that I thought was really cool, in the vein of Nintendo, I guess that they didn't stop with the Pokemon because, Christy, did you see this? Nintendo is releasing a new version of the console with 30 games pre-installed. Look at this.
Oh, wow.
It's a mini Nintendo version. So it looks like an original Nintendo.
Yeah.
It comes with a video game, and it comes with 30 games. Mario Brothers, Contra, Castlevania, all the games.
Oh, nice.
So you just hook it up to your TV or computer, and you can play it. And it's only $60.
Wow. That's amazing.
And it comes out November, right before Christmas.
Oh, yeah, it does. Of course it does.
Perfect timing.
Of course it does. That way everyone can punch each other in the face when they run into Walmart trying to grab one.
Yep.
The way God intended.
How cute does that look, though?
Wow.
Dude, it's awesome.
It fits in the palm
of your
hand.
You know that's the console that I still play off of.
You still have an original Nintendo?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I do, but it doesn't work anymore.
And I play... No, mine works, and I only have two games. I have Zelda, and I have Super Mario,
and that's
it. I don't have this one. I have Super Mario, the purple one.
Yeah. So this one comes with Donkey Kong, Dr. Mario.
Dr. Mario was my favorite.
Galaga.
Mega Man. Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3.
Mega Man, Pac-Man. Punch-Out was great.
Punch-Out, yeah. Isn't that incredible?
Yep. And it does. It comes with Mario Brothers 2, and Mario Brothers 3, and The Legend of Zelda, and The Adventure of Link.
Yep, and there it is, in the retro packaging and everything, so...
That's amazing.
Now, I wonder if these games are updated for now and they still look like the old graphics.
No, 100%.
There's no way they would update them.
I think people would lose their mind if you were going to go retro Nintendo game system and then upgrade the games.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see a really, you know, high-tech.
I hate that 3D, new 3D crap. I have no time for it.
Give me where I can't walk backwards because there's no, I don't.
Right.
That's why I stopped playing video games is there's too many options. There's too many places to go. There was too many places to explore. I want to go from left to right, up and down, and that's it.
And I'm not playing video games 900 hours a day. I don't have the time to figure out the new controllers. There's too many buttons.
Yeah.
I always end up just like staring at the ceiling and walking into stuff because I can't keep it straight. I want this. I want something with four buttons and a toggle.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yep, that's it.
That's what I can handle.
And we just did turn to the old people on Foster the Podcast.
Back in my day.
And you gotta watch the YouTube to get
back
hits.
In my day, it was only four buttons.
No, I think it's, for a few years there, I played, I love the games, but I'm like you, I only have time for a little bit. And, The Madden, we'll go back to Madden for a second. Mm-hmm. It is so complicated now. I don't even play it anymore because of that same reason. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a booklet, like an encyclopedia, filled with different moves. And it's like, let me just turn the game on, except not at a Thanksgiving dinner.
Right.
But, that's right.
Right, but there's guys so you got to buy the booklet, right? And then there's dudes that play the video games on YouTube.
Right.
Drew was showing me this, and these guys have millions of views.
Yeah.
They make money playing video games, and people tune in and watch it to get like hints and stuff like that.
Wow.
That's their job.
Yep.
And I don't have time, you know, I don't have time to go watch a YouTube or buy a book to learn how to play a video game.
Yeah, isn't the whole point for you to, you know, use your brain and kind of
yeah.
do it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
if you got to solve a puzzle, whatever.
Yeah.
But isn't that Amazing. Kind of awesome that that's someone's job? It makes some people like sad. I think it's awesome
but that's
that literally anything you want today can be like your actual job and you can make thousands upon thousands yeah. of dollars literally like doing not shit.
Yeah.
Like whatever you like to do, you that can do be it. Your profession.
I
yeah.
know.
There's the same. There's a bunch of girls that like my sister watches that just do makeup tutorials. They buy new makeup and they do their makeup on
right.
screen and they're making ridiculous amounts of money. That's amazing.
Right. It's also very maddening, too, for people yeah. like Wayne, who's pursuing acting, and me, who's pursuing comedy, to yeah. find these people like, I just play video games on YouTube
yeah.
all day, like, you motherfucker.
Doing survival jobs, trying to put food on the table, and they're just sitting around playing, and then now they're getting exercise, though, with Pokemon.
Yeah,
there
right.
you go.
Yeah.
Getting out of the house.
So that was the two stories, and the third one was the Ghostbusters reboot. I don't Oof. Know. Do you guys have... Yeah, what's your thoughts on that, Wayne?
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm a huge fan. I like Paul Feig. I like all the. I pretty much like everybody that's in the movie.
Okay.
I don't. I haven't decided whether I'm going to give it the shot or not. I just
okay.
don't know. And it has nothing to do with women taking the cast over.
Right.
Right.
Nothing
right, right.
to do with
yeah.
that. But I'm such an old school Bill Murray and the guys from the original that it's a tough call.
I keep going back and forth too.
Yeah. I just don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to see it on Sunday.
Are you?
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interested
yeah.
to hear.
Yeah. But the funny thing about that, so the trailer, which this is maddening to me, but I don't know if you guys saw, it's the trailer that's on YouTube is the most disliked thing that's ever been on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
It has the most downvotes of any video on YouTube. So it's already, and it's just, this is, you know, a month before it even came out. So people are already kind of judging it on a different scale, I think.
Because people don't want it remade or because people are being sexist assholes?
I like to think that people just don't want a reboot that's not the original guys.
Yeah. Okay.
I like to don't... But I could be wrong. I
okay.
hope that it's not because
yeah.
it's not... Because so many people flock to Bridesmaids and so many people flock to, you know, the Pitch Perfect and all those mm-hmm. other... So I don't... I hope that it's just that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm still going to see it because... Because I like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it's banned in China.
What? Yeah, why? I saw something
yeah.
about that.
It's
blurb
banned
about
in
that.
China.
What, why?
Does anybody want to take a guess?
Absolutely no,
no.
possible idea.
Nothing.
No guesses.
I no clue.
Okay. It's banned in China because they don't want people to be afraid of real ghosts.
Wow. Okay.
The film's famous theme may feature the words, I'm not afraid of no, I ain't afraid of no ghosts, but it's been reported that the Chinese don't share the same courage in the face of the spirit world. It's all because the censorship guidelines of China, reports the Hollywood Reporter, informed by the Communist Party's dedication to secular lives for its people. The rules state that the country should not run films which promote cults or superstition.
Okay.
There are rumors that the country feels it's simply not for them. Most of the Chinese audience didn't see the first and second movies. They don't even think there'd be much of a market for here. But it's not. China's the second biggest market, and it's not opening there because of the ghost thing.
Wow, that's a huge amount of money.
Kind of makes sense, though.
Does it?
Yeah.
Because doesn't, like, well, I guess that's Japanese that produces all the weird, like, horror ghost movies.
Yeah. And if you... Yeah. And something as mainstream as that, like, I get it, the tradition of, like, ancestors and honoring the ghosts and bringing people into
right.
your home and having that be like a huge part of your culture.
Uh-huh.
I understand why it's almost like making a joke of it,
oh,
maybe, or like a mockery
sure,
of it, or
yeah.
trying to portray ghosts in a negative light when it's, you
right.
know what I mean?
You
when your belief is that it's such a positive thing.
Right. Chris, I didn't even think about that, about
so,
how ancient ghosts and mm-hmm. spirits are like such a tradition for them. Like how offensive it would be to
yeah.
see like Slimer eating pizza.
You know what I mean?
I do. I
so
do know
I
what you mean.
So I kind of get it now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, it's a very different situation to have your country decide what movies you're even allowed to
yeah.
go watch.
Sure, yeah.
That's obviously a different type of situation, but I mean, I kind of get it.
Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
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 No, I don't know what to say about that one.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
strange, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that point, though.
Right? Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Because,
yeah.
mm-hmm. like, ghost stories and, like, thinking about, like, your aunt and your uncle and like the spirit, they do a lot of
right.
like, you know, stuff like that. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Blessing your home and your house.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And then you see the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Right.
Is that grandpa? What's he doing?
Stay I had a Subway. So when I was talking about you, you've done a lot of you were talking about jobs that you've had to, like, background work and stuff to survive in this business. What is what's acting and background stuff like for you? What's I want to hear some good stuff. I also want to hear some really bad auditions, commercials. I want to hear all of it.
Oh my gosh,
we get a lot of comedians on here, so it's really cool to sit down with an actual actor.
Well, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've had some that have been just wonderful. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of stuff back east and in Nashville. Did a lot of music videos and created quite a name for myself, and after a while there, I decided to come out here in 2004. Mm-hmm. It's a different world.
Yeah. big fish, small pond.
Yeah, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
It was like starting over.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But you know, I had this one. Well, let me go to this one first. I had and sometimes, you know, obviously the market's smaller, and this is when I was in Nashville, and there happened to be this commercial. It was like kind of a PSA for a non-denominational church type thing. And it was okay. Like their whole concept and idea was I don't go there, Scientology type mode, but it was like
right. They
believed in certain things or whatever. And the lady and I would read the dialogue as if we were newscasters.
Okay.
And so we go there, we get everything set up, and there's a lot of dialogue. And it's not dialogue like it's just, you know, this just in, you know. It was like they were talking like we were aliens trying to take over the church or whatever.
Okay.
So everything, and they wanted everything so specific, you know. It's almost like Klingon or something.
Sure, yeah, right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So
was it Scientology?
It was not.
But like, it was like
but
a
it was
sort
a
of
kind
that.
Of a, yeah, in okay. that mode. And so we go in there, and I'm like, okay, great. So we sit down. I sit down in the chair. We get all everything going and all that. And I start feeling kind of weird and squishy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah. And that's not my stomach. It was right. like, it was like, what the hell was going to, and I stand up and it's almost like it was a Lucille Ball episode because uh-huh. the chair literally stuck to my ass.
Okay.
They had just painted the chairs.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And they neglected to tell, you know, the talent and anybody in there
right.
that, hey, this could be still wet or whatever.
Right.
And
oh,
so,
no.
Yeah. So right. totally ruined a great pair of pants. And then it was such a low paying, just
sure.
crap job. You know,
right. Well, yeah, and now you're right. negative money because yeah. you got to buy new pants.
Right.
Yeah, I said, you know what? I'm done. And I left it.
You walked.
I did. Nice. And I'd never done that before. I'm a very consummate professional.
Right.
But I just, not for this. I yeah. could not do it.
Right.
And I ended up sending a bill to them for cleaning the pants or whatever, and they were so mad. They finally sent a check, and I got reimbursed for that. But that was a stupid thing,
yeah.
whatever
yeah.
that was. But there was this other time when I, it was a PSA for the military,
uh-huh.
and the whole commercial was, it was a guy in a Cupid costume.
Okay.
Me.
Beautiful.
I had to wear, yeah, I had the tights and the tutu, the whole thing. And
in a tutu.
Cupid, yeah,
nice.
In a Cupid costume. But it wasn't just, you know, reading stuff and talk about the military. It was, they put me in a harness.
Right.
And they put me up about, I don't know, maybe 10 feet up in
well,
the air.
Well, you got to fly, man.
Of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, you
know,
fly, yeah.
had the little bow and arrow.
That's right. Adorable. Adorable.
But it was great. It was very constraining, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah. And so when you're up there for like 4 or 5, 6 hours straight, it's pretty tough on your,
right.
on your person. If
yep.
you will.
Oh.
On your man.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, because it was, okay.
Yes, it
the
was.
Harness nice. Was.
That was a crazy one. Ended up
and that was for the military.
Yeah,
the military
I thing. Really have to stop you there and ask you what in the absolute hell Cupid has to do with a PSA? How does Cupid arrive on the scene to do a PSA for the military?
Yeah. It's very funny you asked because I back when that was when I was still getting situated and I was very bad at dialogue for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
An actor, very
sure.
bad. I just couldn't seem to get the concept.
Well, yeah, they're not hoisting Academy Award winners in a Cupid costume.
Exactly. And that was full of a lot of stuff there. And so whatever, you know, I would get one section of it done and then I would just be like, I think what happened is it ended up turning into a blooper reel.
Okay.
Because I've actually had military personnel come up to me and say, yeah, you're very familiar. You're Cupid. You know?
No. No freaking way.
Yeah.
They show you what not to do.
And I just, yeah. So that was quite an embarrassing.
Was it about having relationships? It was kind of like the military,
kind of like that.
And
yeah,
how
it was
to
very relationship
it?
Oriented, okay. and how it's okay to, you know, okay. whatever your orientation is, you're okay to be in the military.
Okay. Okay. You're okay. The spokesperson.
I
was
guess
the
so.
Spokesperson one time and more of a blooper reel than anything.
Yes. So. So and now you're famous in the military. Congratulations.
Thank you. I think
on that big break. It's amazing.
Yeah, that was amazing. But I've had some great, great videos that I've worked with people like Pam Tillis, a lot of country stars. That Sawyer Brown did some stuff with Garth Brooks, and so it was quite a, you know, I built quite a reputation back east, uh-huh. and mm-hmm. that's when I ended up moving out here right after that.
What brought you to Nashville?
My dad had a job transfer.
Oh, okay.
So we
gotcha.
Ended up, yeah, from there. And what a culture shock that was. Love the city, though. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful city.
Boston to Nashville,
Boston
though, yeah.
Boston to Nashville. And then Nashville to here. Yeah. So I figure I'm making my way across the world.
Yeah.
Next is Hawaii. Then I just keep going. Keep making the trek.
Just going to China.
Yeah.
And very, like, specific places. No Ghostbusters. Got to see that first.
Yeah.
So what's it like? Because I'm a comedian, and everything that I get, people just know, like, hey, you'll be right for this or whatever. Mm-hmm. What's it like actually, like, auditioning and stuff and having to go in and read? Do you get nervous still?
Well, nah, I don't really get nervous anymore because I've finally learned how to work the room and be able to – you got to have such a confidence and an aura when you walk in the room, because the first thing a casting director wants to do before they go to producers or directors – is they want to know that they can work with you and you'll be okay to work with all right. day on set. Uh-huh. You're not going to be in awe if Clooney walks up, or you're not going to, sure. you know, go crazy, or you're going to be able to, you're going to be a professional on mm-hmm. set.
I guess I didn't think about that. Yeah.
About, act like you've been there before.
Yeah, the fan, yeah. They don't want you taking selfies with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's very specific. When I first started out, I did get a lot of lead stuff, which was great. And I wanted to always be the Harrison Ford, you know, the lead guy yeah. and all that. And as the years and I have grown older, I've appreciated that I am more of a character actor. I'm not necessarily the guy, you know, the Tom Cruise hanging from a plane. But that's okay with me. And that's another part of this, the phase you have to accept different roles. And I was watching Gaffigan's show the other day. I don't know if you guys mm-hmm. watched Jim Gaffigan's show. And he was going in for auditions, and it was hilarious because it just hit the mark. He's going in hilarious the episode was his read with Alec Baldwin, and his part was called Ugly. His name for Gaffigan.
His character?
Yeah, Ugly. His character. So they wanted, like, the ugliest guy, and it was just a hilarious thing. But, you know, he was bantering back and forth. He goes, now I'm just the character actor. And everybody knows the character actor is the ugly guy. So it's definitely an acceptance to change that. So now going into auditions and all that, it's a lot more calm. It's a lot less pressure.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. What's the have you ever been, like, in an audition where it's just been you and, you know, a lot of guys that look like you, or, like, guys that don't look like you?
Oh, well, a couple months ago, I went on an audition.
Oh, shit.
This was supposed to be, it was for a film, and it was for a big, huge, burly guy. And uh-huh. you know, I can't really give too much on the details. So they called me in anyway, you know, because they were trying to look at different angles sure. and different people. So when I walked in the room, literally, I felt like I was at the gym.
Right.
All these guys were just like, you know, I'm like 5'5".
Right.
These guys, you know, 6 feet in my heels. No. But all these guys were just bulked up and huge.
Massive.
Like, what's up, little man? So I did my audition. I went, thank you. Just kind of shied away, like, nope.
I have a personal trainer now.
Yeah.
You guys on Facebook?
Not going to make me grow any taller.
Nope.
So that was a crazy one.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's cool, man. What about any experiences on set? Anything that you really enjoy? Is there anything that's been weird? Anything? I know you walked off of a thing one time. Have you ever come close to doing that before?
No. I think you tend to, you know, especially if the money's right. you live through it. I just did a stint for 2 days playing an alien in a science fiction movie show coming out.
Oh, cool.
And I had to wear, it was literally 100 degrees in the studio, and I had to put like this brace on my shoulders and then put this huge alien head with a couple of protruding eyes and a big snout and all that. And the guys behind actually could control the eyes and all that. It was awesome. But it was about 130 degrees inside that thing. Yeah, and I had such a great crew and people around me that would, you know, they would constantly feed me water, give me ice packs and that, which was really cool.
Right.
Nice. But I couldn't see a thing. So they would just, you know, they had to walk me through the whole set and that. But it's just something that's like, you know, at first when I first put the thing on, I got, and I don't get claustrophobic, but I felt weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost started freaking. I was like, could get this thing off my head. Yeah. Get it off me, you know? So it took me to get used to that. I mean, I've done some crazy, crazy things like that. Like, I was just talking to a friend the other day, and I was like, going, you know, all the different sets and things I've been on, it seems like it's always either 100 degrees out or freezing cold. Because one commercial I was doing for a restaurant, for the audition, they asked me if I could ride a horse.
And of course you said.
Of course I said, yeah. Absolutely.
I rode one here.
I mean, Mr. Equestrian right here, you know? And so,
always say
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, can you swim the English Channel? Yeah, I did it yesterday, you know?
I was speedo in my car.
You know, give me the goggles on set. But yeah, so
you said yes, I can ride a horse.
I said yes, and I quickly, and I got the part.
Of course you fucked
up. Of course, yeah. And I quickly had a friend of a friend that owned a horse ranch, and I learned how to ride a horse for like an hour. Okay. That was all I got.
So like you're professional.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like cramming for a final exam.
You just don't go up to a horse and go, I'm riding you now. You got to get to know, you know?
Right.
So this was just, you know, regular, I say regular size horse, because what happened was I was, they sent us to Colorado to film in the snow.
Oh, Jesus.
And so we had to go up this mountain, and the scene was, they had it open up where it's very, all the fresh fallen snow, one section, and they wanted to get the shot where we were walking towards the snow.
Right.
Or towards the camera. And it was probably a good, you know, 100, 200 feet or whatever, or probably more, the distance. So we had to get on the horses and go kind of halfway up the side of the mountain, side of the mountain to come around so we didn't disrupt any of the snow and made it one take, one fresh take. And so the horse that we had was nothing like the horse I had first.
Right.
This thing was a behemoth, man.
Right.
It was like I learned on an X-Wing, and this thing was the Falcon or the Star Destroyer, you know? This thing was huge. I had to use steps to get on the thing, you know?
They're
calling a hook and ladder, you know? Get on the,
my goodness.
And you got to ride up a mountain, too.
Had to go halfway. Yeah, had to go up a mountain. And so there was a guide, and he was up to his knees in snow. And then there was the guy that was in the commercial also, he was in front with his horse, and then I was behind. And we were kind of side by side, and next thing you know, his horse slips into my horse.
Oh, God.
And bam, right into my knee.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, here we go. Right. And I was just like, I was just clenching. I was going, I'm all right.
Right.
And made it through, you know, didn't break anything or whatever like that. But that was another crazy,
that's terrifying.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got
absolutely
the shot. Yeah, you hear about stuff all the time, different ways you have to handle. And that's what, when you go going back into an audition room, that's what they look for, is that you're going to be a professional.
Right.
And you're not going to be there. You know, you're not out for the 15 minutes of fame. You're not out there to just be, you know, some Joe off the street. You got to know
what
you're doing.
Play video games on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Damn right.
That's fun. Man, that's a really interesting point, because you watch these movies, and I watch movies all the time, and I see these things. And then you see, like, the sci-fi movies, and you see the guys in the makeup and the costume. And you don't really think about everything that goes into it. Or the guy, the guy riding the horse in the background.
Yeah.
You never think about it. He's the guy who just had another horse slam into his leg.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's in so much pain.
Yeah. And he's never ridden a horse before. Now he's coming down a mountain. You know what I mean? You don't think about shit like that.
Yeah, it's insane. you just go through. And there was a time I was, it was a commercial, and it was like, and that time I was still thin. I'm not like obese now, but I definitely need to lose a few LBSs there. But I was doing the commercial, and I was the thin guy with like four heavy set men in a boat built for two.
Oh, okay. Wow.
In a pond.
Oh, okay. Wow. And what commercial was this?
This was, oh, gosh, I don't even remember what it was. It was, I think it was like an insurance commercial or whatever. Okay. It was
just trying to, for the military.
Like, I was going to say a dating app for the
was,
military.
Yeah, so I was dressed as Cupid in this boat, you see. And yeah.
I'm talking about rules and regulations for the military.
Yeah.
It's no big deal.
But yeah, I'll never live that one down. It's out there, world. I played Cupid.
Wayne, don't ask, don't tell Fraser. But yeah.
Can't wait to go to work next. Hey, what's up, Cupid? Yada. But yeah, that was crazy because the boat kept trying to sink on us and all that.
Wow.
It's just, you know, just crazy stuff, and you got to be prepared for everything on set and all that. But it's fun. It's a perseverance. It's what I want to do. It's what I feel like. It's just like you do your stand up. It's just like I can't not do it.
Right.
You just keep whatever angle you can do.
Ah, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love those little insights and stuff. It makes me watch movies differently, mm-hmm. right? Even moving out here, like when I first started moving out here and like being on set and seeing, like now I watch movies I always, do you do this? Do you try to watch like background actors to see if they like look at the camera?
All the time.
I do.
All the time.
And I notice it a lot now. Mm-hmm. You know, there'll be like a cafe scene. And there's always like that one lady like looking at the camera. Yeah. Like
trying to cheese it, you know, right. Like, got to get my FaceTime.
Right.
Which means it means absolutely nothing on your IMDb or right. whatever. You can't even really put the credit there.
Right.
You
like, know? Julie Roberts
no one
great.
Cares about your background credits.
Yeah.
No
Julie one's Roberts looks great, but who's the chick sitting there making an espresso?
Yeah, try doing it. I you know, I've done some background. Mostly, I try to stay away from that.
Do you?
You work your way up the ladder, and you're humble enough to do work because you're on set, but then you're also like, okay, I know I'm at a different level,
right.
of things like that, and I'm not being like facetious or being,
no,
you know,
but your value is more than just right. sitting there looking
exactly spending yeah. 12 hours and being the last one to eat in the set, right. you know, and sitting in the sun while everybody else is doing their thing, you know, right. what I mean, whatever.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
It's a tough job, and I applaud everybody on the set, from the mm-hmm. from the grips that get there at 6 a.m to, you know, to the you know, actors, everybody. It's such a, and it's an amazing thing. Going back to what you're saying, like watching movies now, it's a shame because it's such a hard work and a teamwork to make a film or a TV show, even just a 1 hour drama. And then when it gets just canned or panned,
right, yeah.
automatically, yeah. and you're like, oh, it just blows the whole, it diffuses everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, granted, we know there's a lot that come out that just don't work. You know, right. but it's tough when it comes down to it. You got to put that all together and make it work, from the last sound effect to the, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah. What's it? And you have a podcast too, right? You also do. I was a guest.
You were a guest, which was a fantastic show. Our ratings went way the heck up.
Oh, I'm sure.
I appreciate that.
I'm sure.
It's called Hollywood Close Up, and we talk to actors, writers, producers, directors, anybody in the industry. And every week we feature, every 3 weeks we feature a brand new indie artist and have that as our music. So we,
oh, cool.
we've included music, and, you know, we've talked from mainstream actors to casting directors to people that are just starting to stand-ups to, you know, and we kind of just kind of give them a great interview and how they got started, how they were the ones that began their careers and mm-hmm. and their stepping stones, much like we're doing now.
Yeah.
And it's some great, interesting stories. And I learn something every single week.
Do you?
Every single week there's something new. And I think it's really been new. We just did our 142nd third episode.
Oh, nice. Congratulations. Yeah. We were there once.
Nothing like your 2000 here, but
yeah. 2014.
I've been doing this since I was six.
I was doing this with video game controllers. We just had two buttons.
Two buttons on the computer, press a button and talk. Yeah, but you can find it iTunes and go to website natalieandwayne.com. I give a shout out to my partner in crime, Natalie. She's an amazing co-host and
She's
producer and,
yeah.
and writer, and yes. and we've been together kind of like we call it a career marriage partnership. Because she's married to somebody else.
Right. right.
But she's amazing. I'm blessed to have her on my side and team, and we just have a great camaraderie.
That's awesome. Nice. Really Hollywood Close Up.
Hollywood Close Up.
It's on iTunes also, right?
You can yes,
find
sir.
It on there. Great.
Yep.
Awesome. Dude, well, thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you, man.
So
this was
fun. Yeah.
My gosh. It's just
the time flew by.
Yeah. We just went and ranted. It was great. I love
That's
this
how
show.
We do.
This was amazing.
Yeah.
All right, well, catch Wayne's, catch his podcast, the Hollywood Close-Up. on iTunes, and then you said WayneandNatalie.com.
Go to natalieandwayne.com.
Natalieandwayne.com.
Check out our website, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on, man. Good luck to you.
Thank you, guys.
And then for our show, obviously, we're on iTunes as well. Search Foster the Podcast. Subscribe to our show on there. Visit our website, fosterthepodcast.com. And just a real quick commercial here, you guys. We have a sponsor for our podcast for this month and next. It's the Burbank Comedy Festival at Flappers Comedy Club. It's going to be taking place Sunday, August 14th through Saturday, August 20th. I'm going to be there. We're also going to be doing a live version of our show there. Fossil Podcast is going to be live. This is our third year doing it. We're going to be there Friday, August 19th in the main room at 5 p.m. Come on down and stay for the whole festival, though. There's going to be 50 special events, including underground showcases, industry panels, after parties, and live festival podcasts. More than 200 comedians performing from around the world are going to be there. Get tickets, book a hotel room. Flappers is also offering VIP passes that include tickets to all special event shows only at www.burbankcomedyfestival.com. So visit Burbank Comedy Festival. We'll see you guys this summer.
Thank you for listening to Foster the Podcast.